price that he paid. The plan and the price of redemption. And I would pull out a specific scripture, but you could turn to Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John and read the account, in particular the words that said, "It is finished." He had a plan, there was a purpose, and there was a price to be paid. And when he hung on the cross, he said those final words before he died, "It is finished." That lets you know he had something in mind. This was not just any man that had walked on the face of the earth. This was a man with a plan. And it was finished at that moment. Amen. Dear God, I ask you today to touch us. Help us hear from you today, God. We're here to celebrate the price that you paid. I ask you to move on us today, God. Help us see in the light of your word and your scriptures what we need to do to repay you for the price that you paid for us. I thank you for it. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ, in Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. We are here today to celebrate the price that was paid on Calvary. Not only the price that Jesus paid, but the gift that he gave. Adam and Eve brought sin into the world. You all know the story. We've heard that story since we were little children in Sunday school. But Adam and Eve were tempted, and they ate of the forbidden fruit, and they went from this wonderful, perfect relationship with God to where they walked with him in the cool of the day. Can you imagine that? Walking with Jesus Christ. I just get to go home and talk to my wife. That's a wonderful thing, but that's not walking with God in the cool of the day. But because of that failure in the Garden of Eden, man was severed from God. Man was lost. Man, like the psalmist David said, that now all of a sudden we needed something to save us. We needed redemption. And because of that sin, we no longer had the right to stand in the presence of God or commune with him as Adam and Eve had the luxury of doing. But God never wanted to be separated from his creation. That is the beauty of the story. Is that he never wanted this separation. He never wanted man to sin. He never wanted to be separated. He wanted to be reunited with his people. He already had a plan in place. The plan was going to be a final shot at bringing redemption to mankind, and the plan was blood. We know that blood in the Old Testament was a way to roll away sins. And the sad part is it only rolled sins away for a year. So the penalty of sin never truly went away. It always stayed behind them. And I was thinking this yesterday, not only that, it wasn't just this year's sins that were rolled away. I'll be 43 here in a couple of weeks. That means I will have 43 years of sins piled up and rolled away to the next year. That's the way that worked. It was just barely pushing sin to the next year so you could offer a sacrifice again. And the reason for this is the blood of an animal could never cover the sins of man. It was not good enough. Amen. Some people think their dogs are human. They're not. I'm not saying if they go to heaven or not. You can believe whatever you want about that. But as much as you love a dog couldn't die for your sins. It's not equal to that of a human being. Amen. Something was needed to cover the sins of man that was stronger than the blood of an animal. In steps Jesus Christ. John says in John chapter 1, verse 14, that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We read earlier in the book of John that Jesus was the Word robed in flesh. The Word was with God, the Word was God. So this was God robed in the flesh. So the sacrifice then would be not just a lamb, but a symbolic lamb in the body of Jesus Christ, who was both God and man. Amen. The Bible says that Jesus was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He had a plan from the very beginning, and He knew the price that was going to be paid. So Jesus was born of the virgin named Mary and began the long walk from the manger to the cross of Calvary. The plan was redemption, and its price would be the spotless blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Any other sacrifice would have fallen short. In 1973, January 30th, 1973, there was a man named Patrice Tamayo from the Dominican Republic, and he wished to be nailed to a cross. He was going to do this as a sacrifice for world peace and understanding among men. So he wanted to make this well-known sacrifice a modern reality, except for he planned to live. He was only going to stay up there for 48 hours. But as thousands watched on television, they drove 6-inch stainless steel nails through his hands and his feet on a cross. And though he planned to stay there for 48 hours, after about 20 hours, he had to cut it short because of an infection that had set in into his body. And so they took him down. The very next morning, the article covering the story, the headline said, "Crucifixion for World Peace Falls Short." But I'm here to tell you today that the crucifixion of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary did not fall short. Amen. It paid the price for you and I. There needed to be a way for redemption, and not just redemption. Jesus Christ suffered the shame and agony and torture leading up to the cross. He took stripes upon His back for our healing. The Scripture says He was wounded for our transgressions and He was bruised for our iniquities, and by His stripes we were healed. The plan for redemption would take Him beyond the whipping post. It would take Him all the way to the cross of Calvary. And while being treated as though He were a sinner, He was hung on a cross between two thieves, bearing the weight of everyone upon Himself. I don't know if you realize this, but when Jesus Christ hung on a cross, the Bible says that He bore our sin upon Him. He didn't just die for the sins that you have committed. He died for every sin you could possibly commit. Otherwise, the price wouldn't have been paid in full. He, on that day, on the cross of Calvary, bore on His shoulders every sin ever that could have been committed in mankind. What a price. Amen. He breathed His last breath on the cross of Calvary and shed that last drop of blood. What a price that was paid. They said the unnatural position used in crucifixion made every movement painful. The lacerated veins and crushed tendons throbbed with incessant anguish. The wounds, inflamed by exposure, gradually gangrened. The arteries, especially at the head and the stomach, became swollen and oppressed with surcharged blood. And while each variety of misery went on gradually increasing, there was added to them the intolerable pang of a burning and raging thirst, to which He was offered vinegar, and at what point He said, "It is finished." His side was pierced, and the crown of thorns bore down on His head. All of these physical complications caused an internal excitement and anxiety which made the prospect of death itself, of death, the unknown enemy at whose approach man usually shudders, this made the prospect of death itself a wanted thing. He did all of this for you. He did it for you. He paid the full price for your sins. He did it for you. No longer do you have to find some spotless animal and sacrifice so that your sins would be rolled away for just 1 year. A complete price was paid in the Lamb of God. And not only that, but in baptism, the penalty of sin can be completely remitted to where even the penalty of sin itself can be released from you. What a wonderful story it is. Winston Churchill paid a great tribute to the young men in the Royal Air Force who guarded England during the war, saying this, "Never in the history of mankind have so many owed so much to so few." In the Battle of Bastogne, it was one of the bloodiest battles in World War II. And there's a monument that pays tribute to the heroism of the U.S. 101st Airborne Division. And the inscription says, "Seldom has so much American blood been shed in the course of a single action. O Lord, help us remember." But when we think of the cross of Calvary, we can say this, never in the history of the universe has mankind owed so much to one. Would you stand with me? Jesus enacted the plan and paid the price for your redemption. And what I've talked about today hasn't even begun to do justice to the agony and the passion of the cross. I couldn't begin to do it justice. But I can say today that He did it all for you. What I would ask today is that you would not allow the cross of Calvary to be in vain. He died to make something available to you. He died to make salvation available. God's grace was given on the cross, but we haven't received His grace because we're still sinners. We're still born in sin and shapen in iniquity. We have to receive the grace of God. We have to receive the gift of grace that He purchased on Calvary. We still have to receive Him. So how do you receive Jesus? Well, the first step to receiving Jesus is really quite simple. It's repentance. Just saying, "God, I'm sorry. The weight that You took on the cross of Calvary for me, I'm sorry. I'm sorry." I'm going to open the altars up here in just a moment, and I'm going to ask for the members of Calvary to come forward. If you are here today and you want to thank God for this wonderful gift and receive the grace that was given that day on the cross, I ask you to come as well. If you don't feel comfortable coming up to the front, that's fine, I understand. But I would ask that you still pray where you are and ask God to forgive you for your part in His crucifixion, for the price that He paid for you. It doesn't matter how good you are, we all still need repentance. We all need forgiveness. We all need the grace of God. And there is no reason today on this resurrection day where we celebrate the price, and not only the price that He paid, but that He was resurrected and that He rose again and returned to pay that, to complete it, the work that was done on Calvary, so that you might live forever and eternity with Him. There is no reason today to pass up on that gift. God's not asking you to become somebody completely different today. He's not saying that whatever place you're in, that all of a sudden you have to become a perfect person. That all of a sudden you have to be make no mistakes for the rest of your life. He's not even expecting that you never sin again. He's expecting that you ask forgiveness and that you try not to sin again. And that when you do, you again fall at His feet and ask for forgiveness. It's not hard to thank Him for the price that He paid. Amen. These altars are open if you would come. As she begins to sing, if we would for just a moment, thank Him for the price that was paid on the cross that day. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus.